The smiles turned to sad looks of concern for her pain. The soft, gentle voices cooed comfort to her. The glowing hands caressed the shoulder, and when they lifted, the bruise was gone, the hurt was gone.
All better?
Rachel nodded.
Yes, it's all better. Thank you.
The hands pulled off her shoes and stockings. She sat on a warm rock and dangled her bare feet in the soothing water. It would be so wonderful to bathe and be rid of the dirt and sweat. The hands reached for the stone hanging on the necklace around her neck. The hands drew back, as if afraid.
We cannot remove this thing. You must do it without our help.
Through the soothing warmth and security of the beautiful land around her, through the comfort of the peace she had found, through her desire to do as the gentle murmurs had asked, a voice rose up in her mind. It was Zed's voice, telling her that she must not give the stone to anyone for any reason, telling her how important it was for her to guard it always. She looked up from the circles of ripples her feet made in the water to the gentle faces.
I don't want to take it off. Can I leave it on?
The smiles returned and widened.
Of course you can, Rachel, if that is what you wish, if that is what would make you happy.
I want it to stay on. That would make me happy.
Then it will stay on, now and forever, if you wish.
She smiled a smile of peace and security as she slipped into the soothing water. It felt so good. She floated and drifted. She felt all her troubles sloughing away with the dirt. One moment it seemed she couldn't feel any more safe or happy, and then the next moment she did, and the next yet more. She drew her arms through the healing, cleansing, golden water, swimming toward the other side of the pool where she remembered leaving Chase. She found him almost up to his neck in the water, his head tilted back, resting on a soft mat of grass at the bank. His eyes were closed, and he had a wonderful smile on his face.
Father?
Yes, daughter, he whispered, without opening his eyes. She swam up beside him. He lifted an arm and she slipped under it. It felt so good to have his arm around her shoulders, comforting her.
Father, do we ever have to leave this place?
No. They say we can stay forever.
She nuzzled against him.
I'm so glad.
She slept, really slept, like she couldn't remember ever sleeping before, so safe and sheltered, though she didn't know how long. When she dressed, her clothes were clean and seemed to sparkle like new. Chase's clothes, too, were bright and shiny. She held hands and danced in circles with other children, glowing children, whose voices and laughter echoed. It made her laugh, too, laugh with happiness like none she had ever felt before. When she was hungry, she and Chase lay in the grass, the warm fog and glowing, smiling faces around them, and ate things that were sweet and delicious. When she was tired, she slept, never having to worry about where she slept, because she was safe, safe at last. And when she wanted to play, the other children came to play with her. They loved her. Everyone loved her. She loved everyone. Sometimes she walked alone. Filmy shafts of sunlight streamed through the trees. Glowing meadows were filled with wild flowers bowing in the gentle breeze, winking with bright specks of color. Sometimes she walked with Chase, holding his hand. She was so happy that he was contented now, too. He never had to fight anyone anymore. He was safe, too. He said he was at peace. He sometimes took her for walks and showed her the woods where, he said, he grew up, where, he said, he had played when he was as little as she. She smiled with delight at the look of happiness in his eyes. She loved him and was fulfilled knowing he, like she, had found peace at last. She looked up, and a small smile touched her thin lips. She hadn't heard a sound, and she needn't turn to look in the near darkness. She knew he was there, on the other side of the door. She knew how long he had been there. Her legs still crossed, she rose smoothly on a cushion of air, hovering above the straw-covered floor. The boy's limp arms swung as they dangled, like weighted fishing line. Lacking any life or rigidity, his back bent backward, draping over her arm. In her other hand was clutched the statue. She unfolded her legs and stretched her slippered feet to the floor, settling her weight on them. As the boy slid from her arm, the dead weight of his head thunked against the floor. His arms and legs flopped askew to one side. His clothes were filthy. Disgusted, she wiped her hands on her skirts. "Why don't you come in, Jedediah?" Her voice echoed from the cold stone. "I know you're there. Don't try to pretend you're not." The heavy door squeaked slowly open, and the shadowed figure strolled into the light of a single candle burning on a rickety, nearby table that was the lower room's only accoutrement. He stood relaxed, silently watching, as the orange glow faded from her eyes and they returned to the pale, pale blue shot through with violet flecks. His gaze went to the statue in her hand. "The owner sent me to find that. She wants it back." The thin smile grew. "Does she now?" She shrugged. "Well, I'm through with it." She held it out to him. "For now." Jedediah's face was a calm mask as he took the statue. "She doesn't like it when you borrow her things." She ran a finger down his cheek. "She is not the one I serve. I don't really care what she likes and what she doesn't."
"You would be wise to care a little more."
Her smile brightened.
"Really?
I could give her the same advice." She twisted, holding an arm out to the body on the floor. "He had the gift." Slowly, her hard eyes came back to his, the smile gone, as if one had never touched her features in all her life. Her voice came in a venomous hiss.
"I have it now."
The slightest frown of puzzlement touched his cool expression.
"Think we must have the ceremony, Jedediah? The ritual in the Hagen Woods?"
She slowly shook her head.
"Not anymore. That is only the first time, because we are female, and female Han cannot absorb the male."
Her voice lowered to a derisive whisper.
"Not any longer. Now that I have the gift of a male, I can accept others without the ritual."
Her face glided to within inches of his.
"So can you, Jedediah," she breathed. "With the Quillian, so can you. I could teach you. It's so easy. I simply showed him the joining rite to try to show him his Han."
Her cheek brushed his as she whispered into his ear.
"But he didn't know how to control his gift. I created a vacuum in the Quillian."
She drew back to appraise his eyes.
"It sucked the life right out of him, sucked the gift right out of him. It's mine now."
He studied her eyes a time before glancing down at the body.
"I don't recall seeing him before."
She continued to whisper to him from only inches away. "Don't play games with me, Jedediah. What you really mean is, where did I find him? And why haven't the sisters, if he has the gift?"
He shrugged nonchalantly.
"If he has the gift, why isn't he collared?"
She cocked her head to the side.
"Because he is so young. His Han is too weak to be detected by the other sisters."
She tilted her head to the other side.
"But not by me."
She touched her nose to his.
"He was right here in the city, right under their noses, probably the offspring of a dalliance by one of you naughty boys."
"Very efficient. Saves having to bother with reports, avoids awkward questions."
She glanced down at the body.
"Be a good boy and dispose of him for me. I found him living in squalor down near the river. Dump him back there. No one will think anything of it."
He lifted an eyebrow.
"You wish me to clean up after you?"
She ran a finger down his neck and across his throat, across his Radha Han.
"You make a serious mistake, Jedediah, if you think of me as a mere sister. I have the male gift now, same as you, and I know how to use it. You wouldn't believe how much that power increases when you add the Han of another."
"It would appear that you are becoming a sister to be reckoned with. A wise person would take care with you."
She patted his cheek.
"Smart boy, Jedediah."
She gave him a little frown as she slipped her hands to his waist.
"You know, Jedediah, you may think of yourself as powerful in the gift, but I think you should worry about that. You have never had one to challenge your abilities before, your rightful place among the wizards here. But a new one comes,
He will be here soon, and you have never seen one like this before. I think you may no longer be the pride of the palace." His countenance showed no reaction, but his face slowly heated to red. He lifted the statue. "Well, you did say you would like to teach me." She waggled a finger in front of his face.
He is mine. You may have another. Any gift will swell your power, but this one is mine."
He waggled the statue in front of her face. "She might have something to say about that. She has plans of her own, plans for him." She smiled with one side of her mouth.
"I know, and you are going to keep me informed of her plans."
He lifted an eyebrow.
"You have plans for me?"
The smile grew to both sides of her mouth.
"Very special plan."
Her hands roamed lower down the sides of his hips, feeling the firmness of his young muscles under his robes.
"You're good with your hands, good at making things in metal. I have something I want you to make for me, something invested with magic. I hear that's one of your talents with the gift."
"You wish a trinket? An amulet, perhaps, in silver or gold?"
"No, no, dear boy. You're to make it from steel. You're to gather the steel of 100 sword points, very special sword points. Sword points from the armory. Old ones, ones that have been used, ones that have pierced flesh in combat."
He arched an eyebrow. "And what is it you wish made?" She slid a hand up the inside of his thigh.
"We'll talk about it later."
She smiled at how quickly he responded to her touch.
"You must be lonely since Margaret ran away. So lonely. I think you need a friend who understands you,